I want to share this account with you. I wouldn't call it a story, but a person by the name of Sandra Merritt, M-E-R-R-I-T-T. When Sandra Merritt discovered that Planned Parenthood abortion affiliates, were harvesting body parts, she met with the perpetrators and filmed the conversations. The video shocked the world. As a result, committees in both the U.S. House and Senate recommended that Planned Parenthood be investigated for prosecution by the Department of Justice. The organ procurement companies were then brought to justice by state persecutors. Prosecutors, and fined millions of dollars for violating state and federal law. And many states defunded Planned Parenthood. But Planned Parenthood filed a multi-million dollar lawsuit to silence and punish Sandra. They portrayed to the jury as, portrayed to the jury as radical, extreme, and wicked. In contrast to Sandra, Planned Parenthood proudly held up two of its superstars by the name of entitled Dr. Mary Gatter and Dr. Deborah Nucatola. The former is the abortionist that Sandra recorded on video negotiating higher prices for harvesting baby livers and their organs. Because Gatter said, in quotes, "I want a Lamborghini." There's no clearer example of calling good evil and evil good. Who's the wicked person here, Sandra? No. Is it right or wrong to cut out organs from helpless babies while they're still alive and to express deliver their body parts to research labs for enormous profit? For the people, the bulk of which make up our nation and our government, there is no right or wrong. That's just the worldview and ideology that everything has come to. So who's wrong here? Well, not those that are doing this evil, but yet that's not God's standard. Well, the answer should be easy. There are many who believe that people who oppose this view should be punished and jailed, and taxpayers should pick up the tab that she is penalized or whatever, that the millions that they're file a lawsuit for. But those who live in this dark universe want power so they can dominate and punish people like Sandra Merritt. The New York legislators cheering and slapping high fives after they passed a law permitting the slaughter of infants up to and beyond birth is a glimpse of what happens when evil gains political power. Another excellent article, by the way, and this isn't from there, but in this month's Decision magazine, arriving last week, of the corporate and whatever, all those powers that be, an evil gains political power is what that article addresses also. But if you refuse to cheer for death or for the LGBTQ agenda, then you are evil and deserve to be punished. That's their viewpoint, okay? Again, you cannot be neutral in this decision. We cannot be neutral in these things, people. To not speak is to speak. To take no position is to take a position. There is no neutral position. In God's book, in this, a lot of revelation here, people. Yeah. And the assignment is basically to read all of it. Doesn't mean we'll ever grasp all of it, comprehend all of it. But lots here to tell from God. And in the sanctity of human life in marriage, family, and religious freedom, not to act is to act. We believe these absolute truths. We must protect them. Indeed, we will have to account for the choices we make. We have a brief moment of opportunity to advance faith, freedom, family, life, and to reform the federal courts for decades. And if you don't think that President Trump is working that direction in a very clear way, more so than has been done for many administrations, then you are not following the truth. You can follow the lies of the media, and you'll never get the truth there. But anyway, if we miss this opportunity, everything we believe will be viciously attacked, and it is anyway. Perhaps stalled off for a little bit or put in check somewhat, but the mask of Satan has been removed. The choice between good and evil could not be clearer. We always say it, we always have, we continue to say it. We live in a fallen world. There is no perfect candidate. And the only perfect one who needs no office is the one who needs no office. He's the King of Kings. He's not on the ballot. We don't get to elect him. We don't get to vote him out. Even though, in a way of speaking, we do, but only for a time. If and when the alternative universe gains political power, then more than 40-some million amount of people will die. Perhaps 2020 will be even higher than that number. Perhaps that's been put in check to some degree. The biggest offense, I'm sure, the biggest offense that's not mentioned when all the charges are brought against the president is that he's taken some of their play money away from them by the millions, and taxpayers' money, yours and mine. A whole lot of other things like that that are done for right and for good. Those are the charges, but nobody's playing with those, mentioning those, naming those in any way, shape, or form. But if when the alternative universe gains political power, more infants will die and we will pay for their deaths. And in a way of saying it, that can be taken in two ways. We will pay taxpayer-wise, but there is an amount to be paid for their deaths, that justice will be known. And it will come. It will come. In the meantime, there's such a thing as corporate sin, and, you know, I think we have to somehow deal with something sometimes that is always neglected and always the big elephant in the whole picture, whatever, that, you know, that in a sense, corporately speaking, we're all held responsible for the sin that is perpetuated by people and some big leaders in Congress. And a former presidential candidate who didn't make it. We're going to do big, big things for that. That's a big thing against the president who's in position right now, as much as just about anything. He went the opposite of what that was supposed to go. Religious freedom will be crushed. There's much in the news about that. Sandra Merritt is an example and a warning. She stood for truth. Then she stood for trial, being unjustly accused as being an evildoer who exposed Planned Parenthood's harvesting organs from babies who were still alive. Don't fumble this brief window of opportunity to make the right decision. A fellow by the name of Matt Staver, Decision Magazine, too. This is dated now. I had this to share already back two Sundays ago when we canceled because of the weather. But James Dobson had this statement, and I'm reading it. Try to not add anything, say it as he's written it here. I have read an editorial published by Christianity Today that promotes impeachment of President Donald Trump. The editors didn't tell us who should take his place in the aftermath. Maybe the so-called evangelical magazine and editor, which is not that at all, but what it's classified as, would prefer a president who is passionately pro-abortion, anti-family, hostile to the military, dispassionate toward Israel, supports a socialist form of government, promotes confiscatory taxation, opposes school choice, favors men and women's sports and boys and girls' locker rooms, promotes the entire LGBTQ agenda, opposes parental rights, and distrusts evangelicals and anyone who is not politically correct. Boy, is President Trump in trouble. He's on the wrong side of every single one of those issues named. See, I said I wasn't going to say anything. That's not Dobson. That's my big mouth. By the way, Dobson, after Christianity Today has helped vacate the Oval Office, I hope they'll tell us if their candidate to replace Mr. Trump will fight for religious liberty and the Bill of Rights. By the way, now this is my big mouth. By the way, I don't think that Oval Office is going to be vacated as well. Probably all of you all feel the same. I don't know. I don't care if you don't. If you don't, you're wrong. Give your readers a little more clarity on why President Trump should be turned out of office after being duly elected by 63 million voters. And it's been said all over the place here. Congress is working to take take your vote and cancel it out. That's what's involved here. Is it really because he made a phone call that displeased you? There must be more to your argument than that. While Christianity Today is making its case for impeachment, I hope the editors will now tell us who they support for president among the Democratic field. That should tell us the rest of the story. I read this in the most recent study Bible I went through. It's called The Evidence, New King James Version. And in there, and I don't know now who put it in there, but listen to this. In his wisdom, he always knows what is best, meaning God, of course. In his love, he always chooses what is best. In his power, he's always able to do what is best. And in his sovereign good pleasure, he has chosen to involve us. And that's what we call prayer. So back to that full circle, even like per se, recognizing what Ruth Graham Bell quoted. But that's really about our involvement with God's sovereignty from our end of things in praying to understand his will, praying that it be done. I give it to you again. In his wisdom, he always knows what is best. In his love, he always chooses what is best. I should have put it in the bulletin. Some of you are trying to write it down. I'll get it to you if you want it. In his power, he is always able to do what is best. In his wisdom, he always knows. In his love, he always chooses. In his power, he always is able to do what is best. And in his sovereign good pleasure, he has chosen to involve us in all those wonderful choices and doings. Folks, I haven't even gotten to the main point of the sermon. I'm doing some serious considering here and so on. I think I won't do it. I think that's what I was supposed to share with you today. And I was going to go back and do a little review of the Daniel passage that we centered last time we were here, that we focused this last time we were together, and then go on to the New Testament for teaching from Romans 13, as well as 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. And I think at this point I would do this reading only from Scripture, Romans 13, well-known passage, which says the Apostle Paul, beginning right in the very first word of the first verse of that chapter, Romans 13, everyone must submit to governing authorities. All authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now, that was said by Daniel, loud and clear, very clear. The Daniel who said he puts those in place and he removes them. And I don't believe there's a single, I'm going to call it rulership or governance, put in place in any nation, in any era, in any time, that God thought, well, I'm not paying attention to that one. That's not the indication you can get from doing a study on this from the Word of God. So, verse 2, anyone who rebels against authority is a rebelling against what God has instituted. They will be punished. Verse 3, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. The authorities, verse 4, are God's servants sent for our good. But if you're doing wrong, you should be afraid. They have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. It says along with that, how's that for this time of year? Pay your taxes. We love that, don't we? For these same reasons. The government workers need to be paid. They're serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Let it be clearly understood. It's nowhere said that when God uses and places these people in authority, whether we're talking Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Pharaoh, any of those, it's nowhere near said that they converted to God in order for him to put them in place. He sets them up. He takes them out. He sets them up to use them to do what he wants them to do and accomplish what his will is for them in their regime or in their administration or their rulership, whatever. God timed all this out, and I believe that when the truth be told, that it's very clear, not because I think it, but because I think it's clear from the Word of God, that it's like Nebuchadnezzar, I got an assignment for you, whether he even spoke it to him or not, but somehow nudged and guided and steered and domineered, you want to say it, in his sovereignty, until Nebuchadnezzar did that. That was his assignment to do, knowingly or unknowingly, although at the end he did acknowledge, did he not? The Almighty God of the universe is the one that's all-powerful. It doesn't mean he converted. When it was time for the Jews to return, and Nebuchadnezzar took them out of the land, to his land, and there was 70-year exile and punishment that was administered on, and other rulers under there after Nebuchadnezzar before they got back out. When they got back out, God had a man in place. What was his name? Cyrus. There was a Pharaoh who took the Egyptians under the Israelites under their wings when he was in power, and when he got out of power, or when they were to get out of Egypt, there was a different Pharaoh in place. I guess I've said that before to you, probably more than once. When there was a time for, the fulfillment of a prophecy that said Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, although his parents lived in Nazareth, there was a king on the throne who issued a decree that says you'll go to your hometown, and Jesus went there to be born, per se, his parents doing, God's doing. And he was born where God prophesied he would be born. There's a lot more examples of that in Scripture. The thing to really go on from there to say is it's still happening today, see? That's not a practice of God that's over and done with and gone out of date and out of use. Romans is very clear that it's still happening today. And, there's many more things to say, and I said I wasn't going to say that. I'm not going there except to share the second verse here, second passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul talking to his protege, Timothy, to share some final teachings and some life critical issues, or whatever you want to say. And now this, he says. He says, first of all, I urge that petitions, the Amplified said, specific requests, very detailed and pointed. I urge that specific requests and prayers and intercessions, which are prayers for others, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all the people. And I'm going to ask this, Paul says of Timothy, asking Timothy to tell it to us and teach us. I'm going to ask this of you also, for all who are in positions of authority, because I put them there, and I put them there for a purpose. Now, we mentioned, by the way, positive and negative with both of this, and so I'm mentioning these rulers that you see in Scripture, whatever, like in other words, somebody to do something positive and something to do something negative, probably do something negative first, like take them out of Israel, and then return him to the land under another one, so on and so on. So you see, he's always working. And it's sort of like saying, well, do you feel the same about the previous administration in the White House before the, and say, no, but yes. Say, what's really the point? The point is that God of the universe will have someone in place in the nation when it's time, in a matter of saying it, I'm sorry, to take us down, because that's exactly what we have coming. So say, well, you know what a prime example of that is, people? The Lord Jesus Christ. He came here and he suffered at the hands of a very wicked government. And you know what? It's fair to say that God had the Roman government in place to do to his son what they did to his son. When that son was sent in the fullness of time to do what God sent him to this earth to do. Is that not right? Is that not accurate? Is that not fair to say, think, teach, talk? See? And Jesus could have called legions of angels. And the numbers have been given on what that is and what that could have done. Not to mention, though, what he could have done with one angel, as was happened with Old Testament experiences of, you know, the demise of 180,000 enemy soldiers when God decided to take them out. The Bible's full of this stuff. We have to keep reading it. We have to keep digging. We have to keep searching. And it's a lifetime thing. And nobody ever gets it all. Nobody ever will get it all. Lord forgive anyone who thinks they've got it all. But the Roman, the case of the Romans, they were there to do just exactly what God wanted done. You mistreat my son. You abuse my son. You crucify my son. When it's all said and done, justice will be served there too. In the meantime, I have a purpose in doing that, and that is for the good of any and every single person that preceded the coming and living of Jesus Christ on earth, and those who follow us on down to this day and beyond this day, who will name the name of Jesus Christ to find the salvation that God intended to administer and deliver through that one person who lived the perfect and righteous life that God sent him here to do and to die for. So say, well, you know, the other side of that is to say God must have been looking the other way when those Romans were in power and they did to Jesus what they did to Jesus. Not so, see? Don't you think that's the scriptural record, testimony, teaching about their treatment of Jesus and what that accomplished because God wanted it accomplished? So whatever government, you say, well, that's a bad one. It certainly can't apply there and God didn't put them in place. Okay, well, I go back to this. For kings and all, and leaders and prime ministers and presidents and whatever, all of high authority, so that we may live, and I put them in place really to watch out for the good of the people, that we might live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. But then there comes the time of not only the tribulation, but all the other many, in a sense, tribulation periods compared to that one that come in place in their time in history to accomplish that purpose of God for that time of history that's entirely under his sovereignty, providence, provision, care, guidance. What a wonderful God. Do you think I can really believe that in a way of saying it quite like that? Every single day of my life, I need to and I'd like to, but no. There are times I get really down about it all and I get really worked up about it all. And it's sort of like, how? It's time for justice now, God. And maybe he says, according to who's thinking? Mine. For kings and all in positions of authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good. It's acceptable and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved, see? So what he's doing sometimes in history is working out this plan and process of salvation that is in place in terms of Jesus, right, you know, securing it, but also in terms of since Jesus, all the times, with all the people, all the eras, and all the stages of history down on through till today. And far beyond today, as long as the Lord tarries, as the old phrase has it, and not use it tritely and carelessly either, till he tarries, that when it's time for someone, somehow, somewhere, in some place, in the remotest corner of the world, in any and every place in the world you could ever travel to or imagine, to have someone in a matter of saying it be saved or whatever. That's his wish. And the Amplified says wishes. Who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. Not to say that all people ever will actually be saved. But that's his desire. That's his heart's desire. And whatever he's got to do. And however much patience. For however long a time. Which is nothing but a day. In the Lord's economy and schedule. There is only one God, only one mediator, so that there's enough living done and enough peace in the land and enough whatever teaching and influence of the I'm going to say good people, righteous people, godly people, scriptural believing people, and so on and so on, okay, who will only perpetuate or further the notion there is one God and only one, and one mediator and only one between mankind and Jesus and God and so on, that man Christ Jesus, as the time goes on, all the more time, whatever else happens, that's on God's agenda. See? So whatever individual, whatever time, whatever, who gave himself as a ransom, a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for all the testimony given in the proper time. I said I wasn't going to say it. I still didn't do the message I had down to do. I'm going to ask Pam to help me sing a song. A few people heard it this morning as we went over it, which was the first time ever in our lives yesterday. So I'm just saying that to say you haven't heard this one before, and the girls don't know it, so I'm not staying up.
They're out.
Not asking you to come up here. Don't want you. Sorry we didn't get to go over it, girls. This will be your rehearsal, so next time we sing it, you're going to be up here. Or where? This is twisted.
It's caught on your vest.
Lord, I have drifted so far from the fold. I beg forgiveness once more. Like the lost sheep standing out in the cold, I stand alone at God's door. Please be my friend, Lord, and bid me come in. I'm tired and weary and sore, longing to find perfect peace for my soul. I stand alone at God's door.
close with a word of prayer, Brother Don Arthur? Those times I feel like saying I don't know what we're voting on, but it looks like Lisa and Larry and I are the only ones against it, whatever it is. Or maybe we're for something they're against.